This is the message from Connection Community Church for Sunday, August 17th, 2025. Soul food, the ingredients.
All right. Good morning, Connection family. This service is closer to lunch, so you're going to be getting hungry, I'm thinking. I guarantee it. Sorry about that, but not sorry. Let's say a prayer together real quick as we dive in. Lord Jesus, this is all for you. We pray that your will would be done in our lives today. God, I pray that your word would come alive for us and speak to each of us personally, specifically, right where we are. You have a plan for us in Christ. We want to know your will. We want to know your word. So Lord, just speak to us today, and may your word powerfully transform our lives as you continue to let your grace flow through us. We give it all to you in the name of Jesus. God's people say, amen. So, food, that is the topic. That's the theme, food. How many of you, when you go to eat something, you check the ingredients? How many of you do that? You look at the box, check the menu, look at the nutrition facts. Okay, how many of you could care less? You just dig in. Yeah, I get that. All right. Different ways, different situations. Here's a thought this morning, just to dive right in. If your life had one of those nutrition labels, those ingredients lists, what would the label say? Like, what are the ingredients of your life? How do you do life? That's something to ponder. We're going to come back to that in a little bit, but just to get us started, we're having some fun with this summer series, Soul Food. Here's some food quotes for you. All right, do you know who said this? Food is essential to life, therefore, make it good. No Chick-fil-A fans in the house? Come on. That's the Chick-fil-A slogan. It's in some of their restaurants. It was, S. Truett Cathy. That's a Chick-fil-A quote. If you're not a fast food person, you maybe have a little more of a refined taste. Here's a fancy culinary quote for you from an American chef. It says, a recipe has no soul. You, as the cook, must bring the soul to the recipe. It sounds like it's from the movie Ratatouille or something like that. It's one of those like fancy culinary quotes. How about some of these slogans? I bet you know a lot of these restaurants. I'm loving it. You know what that's from, right? McDonald's. Did I hear that Justin Timberlake made that jingle? Is that a true fact? I heard that. We'll find out if that's true. Fact check me. How about this finger licking good? That's KFC. Yup. Can you finish this? Better ingredients, better. Yes. There you go. Papa John's. America runs on Dunkin', or any kind of coffee. I'll take whatever coffee you can give me. America runs on Dunkin'. Okay, now we're cooking. This is good. What is it about food that we can get so passionate about it? Like, it's really just a biological need. Like, you need food to survive. It doesn't matter what it is. As long as you have food, you can survive. But we get so intent about it. We love food. We hate food. We can't live without it. Sometimes it's tough to live with it, struggle to live with it, right? Food is something that's more than just a biological need. We kind of make it a whole experience, don't we? It's culture, it's community, it's all these things we put into food. Now, if you're not hungry already, I'll take it a step further. Just close your eyes with me, taking an exercise in imagination this morning, okay? Close your eyes and picture your favorite food. What is that meal or dish that you will never turn down? Can you see it? Can you smell it? Taste it? I know some of you are suffering right now. I'm sorry. You hear the sounds, right? The sizzle or the crunch or the clink, right? It's such an experience. All right, you can open your eyes now. You're going to be like, just get the sermon done because I want to go get lunch. To get that food, it takes ingredients. It takes a process of cooking, and it takes an experience of serving and sharing. Somebody makes it for you, or you make it and you share it with somebody else. It's this whole process, isn't it? So you're probably wondering, why? Where are we going with this? What's the message? Why are you just making my stomach grumble this Sunday morning? Well, a lot of what we just said about food, funny enough, could be said about our faith. Could be said about our walk with Christ. Our walk with Jesus involves ingredients. It involves a process. It involves serving and sharing. And it's an experience that involves our whole life. And believe it or not, food is one of the more common topics in Scripture. Have you ever thought about how often the Bible actually mentions food? I know it's kind of weird, but if you were to list out every time the Bible mentions food, you would find it from start to finish. There, it's there in the garden with all the food of the Garden of Eden in the beginning, the forbidden fruit. It's there throughout the stories of the Old Testament, some of the laws and rituals and regulations. Jesus' ministry has a lot of food. A lot of his parables, a lot of his miracles involve food. It's all over the place. And even in the very end, in Revelation, when it talks about the new creation, there's food. There's the tree of life. And there's the marriage feast, the marriage supper of the Lamb. Heaven is the party, and there's food. So food's all over the Bible, and it's a metaphor that Scripture often uses to talk about our life. Because food is such an instrumental part of our lives, it kind of makes sense that the Bible would reference it in a lot of different ways. So consider some of these verses about food. You know, you think about when you pictured your favorite food, just trying to experience that. And how amazing. Listen to this verse about God. Psalm 34. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. Psalm 63, I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hands. I will be fully satisfied as with the richest of foods, my favorite food. Ah, it's so satisfying, it's so nourishing, it's so filling. I will be fully satisfied. Jesus talked about himself. Using references, analogies of food, Jesus said in John 6, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. And whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Do you hunger and thirst for something that only Jesus can bring? Wow. John 7, he said, let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. 1 Corinthians 11 talks about the Lord's Supper communion when Jesus said, this is my body, this bread is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. Food. Who would have thought? How about them apples? There's a food pun for you. Dad jokes doesn't land. All right, so these last few weeks of summer, we're having some fun, and we are talking about soul food. Because food is one of the more common metaphors in the Bible, we're looking at our spiritual journey through the lens of food, because it's something that relates to us all and connects with us all, okay? And so today, it's all about the ingredients, because you can't have a meal without ingredients. It's follow the recipe, okay? Next week, it's going to be the process. Let it cook. Let it cook. And hopefully we'll do some. We'll be cooking today too. And the final week is the meal. Serve it up. All right. So today, following the recipe, the ingredients, we're asking the big question. What are the ingredients to a thriving life with God? What are the ingredients to a life with God that's not just surviving, but the life that we're meant to live? What are the ingredients to that? Let's dig in together, shall we? Are you ready? Are you feeling awake and alive? You okay that I just made you think about food a lot? It won't be that long, I promise. You doing good? So let's dig in. There's some good stuff here. Did you know that before people started calling us Christians, way, way back in the beginning, there was another label that Christians first went by? The book of Acts talks about it. Do you know what it is? Before they first called us Christians, we were called followers of the way. The book of Acts is all about the early church and what happened after Jesus ascended to heaven and gave his mission to the church. And so multiple times in Acts, they call us followers of the way. Isn't that interesting? Christians came a little bit later as a title. That's another good name too, because it's about Jesus. But that's interesting. Followers of the way. To me, it's a reminder that salvation, this gift from God in Christ, is not just kind of like a once and done thing. Like God says, here you go. Now go live your life. But it's really, it's about a way of life. Jesus is inviting us into a way of life. So yes, it's a free gift, but it's not a one and done, one off kind of thing. It's a, I'm calling you into a whole new way. Just follow me and I'll show you. Isn't that awesome? At Connection, we often call it connecting people with Jesus and the new life that he brings, right? The Bible just says the way of Jesus, the way of Jesus that we walk into, that we follow, that we learn and grow in by God's grace. So what is the way of Jesus? What does that mean? What does that look like? Once you put your faith in Christ, you repent of your sin and you put your faith in Jesus and you know I'm a child of God, what then? What do you do now? Or if somebody came to you and said, what does it mean to be a disciple of Jesus? What do you do? How would you answer? In other words, what are the ingredients to this new life with God? What are the ingredients? Soul food. So I would say one of the best scriptures that kind of summarizes this, and there's probably quite a few in the New Testament, but I think one of the best we could look at as a good starting point would be Acts chapter 2. Again, we're looking at the book of Acts here. After Jesus ascended and returned to heaven, you can read about that in Acts chapter 1, okay? And then the Holy Spirit was poured out on the believers in the first church. That's the story of Pentecost. Have you ever heard that? Acts chapter 2. You have this new church, just born, spirit-filled. The promise has been fulfilled. Jesus said, I'm leaving, but I'm sending you my spirit, right? And here they are with this power. They're now personal temples of the presence of God, right? And so then it's like, well, what now? What are they going to do? Well, the end of Acts chapter 2 describes their life. You get this amazing depiction of the life of the first believers and all the ingredients that made up this kind of new spirit-filled life with God that Christ had given them. So if you like to follow in your Bible, you can open up to Acts. Wow, I think I need some food too. I'm getting my words all mixed up. Acts chapter 2, verse 42 to 47. Okay, it's going to be on the screen as well. This will be our main scripture for the day. Listen to this. You might have heard this before, but if not, this is just such an awesome, awesome part of scripture of giving us a close-up view of the early church and what it was all about. It says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. I think this is a pretty good recipe right here. If you want it kind of laid out to see it all in one place, this is a good recipe. I think that if we break this passage down, we can actually find up to 7 core ingredients that are staples for the diet of Christians, that are the core ingredients that make up our life with Christ. Now, you could find a lot of other ways to list this. I'm not saying this is an end-all, be-all list. There'd be other scriptures you could break down. Or, you know, people talk a lot about different spiritual disciplines and the core habits of believers. But I'm saying this passage here is a good starting place. If you want a good list of what are the basic ingredients of life with Christ, Acts 2 lays it out really well. So what are they? How would you define these? Here's what I would say. Ingredient number one, really good place to start. Scripture, God's word. That passage opens up when it says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. That's just talking about teaching God's word. Teaching God's word. God's word is central. It's as simple as that. It's central. It's the key ingredient. The Bible is God's inspired, authoritative word that reveals who God is and who we are. The Bible is God's great story of redemption of all things. And all of it points to Jesus. It's one big story from start to finish that points to Jesus and helps us know what is our story? What is our purpose? Why are we here? Where did we come from? Where are we going? right? A lot of people today use the language of narratives. Have you ever heard that language, narratives? A lot of talking heads use that language of narratives, right? And the reality is, one of the reasons, especially today, one of the reasons we need to fill our lives with God's word and God's story is because we are bombarded every day with competing narratives. Isn't that true? I mean, as soon as you open this up and start scrolling, you read the news, whatever it is, whatever communication information is coming at you, you're getting a lot of competing narratives. Some of them are more true, some of them less so. Some of them maybe will line up with this story of God, and some of them might be really at odds with it, but we are filled with so much information all the time telling us lots of different types of stories of why we're here and who we are and what this is all about. If we're going to be followers of Jesus and living the way of Jesus, we really need the scripture to help ground us and refocus us on God's narrative, on the true story of everything that is. We believe this is the true story of all that is, right? And so we need to fill our minds and fill our hearts with this so that we're living the true story and not some other story that isn't the way of Jesus. Jesus said in the Gospels when you might know the story early on when he has that showdown with Satan, when the enemy comes and tests him in the wilderness, he quotes several Old Testament passages. And one of the things he quotes is from Deuteronomy. And he says, man shall not live by bread alone, but what? By every word that comes from the mouth of God. Jesus lifted that up as part of his armor against the enemy's tactics, right? He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. So if your soul needs the nourishment of God's word, like your body needs food, how healthy is your soul right now? It's like, when's the last time you had a meal? I was like, I ate like last Tuesday. I'm on a fast. No, you don't fast from God's word, man. How healthy is your soul if you need this nourishment to live life with God? We need to fill our life with God's word. There's so many ways to do it. I know it's not easy. I know it's not always easy to get into scripture, but there's so many tools today. Download the app. Get an app. Get the Bible app. Do the daily verse. Find a way. Get together with other people that can help you learn how to read this. But we need to have a core ingredient of filling our life with God's word as we follow Jesus. All right, let's keep it moving. What's the next ingredient? Fellowship. Fellowship. Acts 2 says, they devoted themselves to fellowship. All the believers were together. What do you think of when you think of that word fellowship and the church? Like, what do you picture? I picture some, you know, certain like traditional things, you know what I mean? It's like, oh, it's the potluck and it's the guys getting together for breakfast and solving the problems of the world or whatever it might be. Like, fellowship has certain vibes when we think about church life. What I would say to you is that the Bible's word for fellowship is I think much deeper and much more powerful than we often realize when we think of fellowship. Maybe you know what I'm talking about and you know, but I think there tends to be this perception of fellowship in the church, and the Bible's word for this goes a lot deeper. Let me tell you about this. When you read the word fellowship in that passage of Acts and throughout the New Testament, it's this Greek word koinonia. Have you ever heard the word koinonia? Some of you might have. This is a powerful word. It means partnership, participation, communion, okay? The Bible Hub Topical Concordance gives this definition. And this is some pretty powerful theological stuff, so track with me for a second. This is deep. But it says, koinonia, the word for fellowship, gathers the whole spectrum of Christian experience, relationship with God, unity of believers, sacraments, sacramental participation, that's like communion and baptism, shared mission, mutual suffering, and material generosity. It gathers all that into a single word, koinonia. Wherever the Spirit unites believers to Christ and to one another, authentic fellowship flourishes, displaying the life of the triune God to the world. Wow. I don't know if I lost anybody with that, but that was some meat right there. Talk about soul food. When we gather in fellowship, and Christ's love is bringing us together and our way of doing community, we're reflecting the life of God to the world. Jesus said, people, they'll know you are Christians by the way you love one another. So fellowship is not just what we receive, but it's actually how we are reflecting God's way and God's kingdom and God's life to the world and to one another. It's deeper than surface level. it's more than what you can get just greeting people after the prayer. That's a start, but there's more. Do you have relationships with other Christians where you can actually get real? Where you can take off the mask and share what you're actually dealing with? Where you can pray together, struggle together, cry together, laugh together, grow together in Christ? Men need this, women need this, teenagers need this, seniors need this, everybody needs this. Fellowship is so important. It's so important. So I would encourage you, take that step and be courageous if you don't have fellowship in your life. Ask God to help you. Find a connection group. Find a small group. We're going to be talking about that this fall a lot. But we need fellowship. And if you read the New Testament, you're going to find that really there is no discipleship without relationship. There's no discipleship without relationship. It's meant to be done together. It's a core ingredient. Ingredient number three, let's keep going. Worship and communion. I'm trying to move faster with these. It says they devoted themselves to the breaking of bread. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts, praising God. When this expression breaking bread is used, they're talking about the Lord's Supper. They're talking about communion. In the early days, Christians met for worship oftentimes in homes. You hear about like house churches. That's where they met. They didn't have church buildings yet. And they would often share a meal during that gathering of worship. And then at that meal, they would share communion, the breaking of bread, sharing the cup. Because they believed that the Lord Jesus was there with them at the table because of his promise. That his presence, his grace was actually coming to them through the bread and the wine to make them one with God and one with each other. Worship was the center of their life and communion was the center of their worship. And so 2,000 years later, we're still doing it week after week all around the world to remember Jesus and live into this gift that he gives us. Don't undervalue the importance of gathering for worship and breaking bread week after week. It will change the course of your life just because you showed up. Just show up, right? Ingredient four, prayer. So important. They devoted themselves to prayer, Acts chapter 2 says. When you read about the life of Jesus in the Gospels, he lived a life of prayer. He lived a life of prayer with his Father. He showed us how to have that relationship with the Father because he is the Son of God, had been doing that for all eternity. And he modeled to us how to live a life of prayer, how to relate to the Lord God. And so it's not just about giving God our laundry lists. Bring the lists. That's great. That's important. Bring him everything you need. But it's not just like lists and stuff and requests constantly. It's walking in a conversational relationship with God. When the Bible talks about living a life of prayer, we're invited to live in this conversational relationship with God. When 1 Thessalonians says, pray without ceasing, it doesn't just mean that we should become monks and nuns and go literally spend 24 hours by ourselves in prayer. It means we need to be in this ongoing give and take, listening, sharing, going throughout your day, talking to God. When you have a struggle and you run into something, the first thing you do, lifting it up to God, inviting him to come in with you and be with you in that, to help you through that. It's a life of prayer. It's as a church realizing how much power we have in Christ, how much authority we have to gain ground for the kingdom and pray together, be a people of prayer, be a house of prayer. When we do that, we will see God's kingdom in amazing ways that can only be explained by the power of God. If we become a people of prayer, this is a key ingredient. And this leads right to the next one. Ingredient number five, we're almost there. There's seven, so here we are at five. Spirit-filled ministry we see in the life of the early church. We see in Acts chapter 2. Let's talk about what that means. It says in that one verse, everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. So this particular verse is talking about remarkable manifestations of God's grace and power working through the early church, healings and miracles, just like the life of Jesus demonstrated. He gave that same ministry to his apostles and believers. That the Bible says that these miraculous, incredible things can happen by faith for followers of Jesus as God chooses to reveal himself. I mean, Jesus gives us incredible promises about what he will do if we seek him in faith and how he will show up and demonstrate his kingdom in miraculous ways. So there, miracles are still happening today. We heard from our partners in India last week stories of what God's doing in the world that can only be explained by God's presence and power. We've heard this, but this verse, this one verse talking about sort of signs and wonders points to a much bigger, kind of broader reality that the whole New Testament talks about for all believers, whether you're somebody who you've seen miracles or somebody says, no, I really haven't. I have faith in Jesus. I don't know that I've seen any direct miracles, all sorts of experiences, but there's something broader here that relates to every single person that is in the body of Christ. Not just in the miraculous ways, but in ordinary ways, because when we put our trust in Jesus, we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, God's personal presence dwelling in our lives. And the Spirit gives each of us gifts and a ministry in the church and in the world. Okay? Because we are filled with God's Spirit as followers of Jesus, we all have a ministry. Ministry is not just for the people on stage. It's not just for the clergy. All believers have a ministry here in the body of Christ and out there in the world because God's Spirit is working through you. And it can be in very ordinary ways of serving that very few people see. And it can sometimes be in profound ways that can only be explained by God's power and grace working through us. But there's people out there in the world that God wants to use you to minister to. There's people here in the body of Christ and opportunities that God wants to use you to minister to. Spirit-filled ministry, doing ministry together with God's presence is what we are called and is a core ingredient. Because it's not just about what we're receiving, but it's about how we're serving and giving out. And that leads directly to the next ingredient, the second to last one. Ingredient number six, service and generosity. Look at this powerful illustration of the early church and the way their life was. It says all the believers had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. So we just talked about the side of the kind of miraculous and the supernatural things that sometimes happen in the church when we're faithfully following God. But this here is a much more practical thing on the other side of things. One of the greatest signs of the work of God's Spirit among the people was the way they served and shared. It was like the love of Christ was just overflowing through them in radical ways, in practical ways. This still happens in the church today when the abundant love of Jesus leads us. And look at what happened from just last week, in just 1 week, when people were stirred by the love of Christ. They saw a need and they were stirred. Look at what we were able to do by the grace of God. We're building a kitchen on the other side of the world to feed people who, many of these kids coming through, that'll be there, they won't get meals without that kitchen. It's just a reality. We're clothing them, kids that may have very seldom, if at all, received a gift ever, and you're giving them something to wear. You don't even know them, but you're giving because of the love of Christ working through you. This is what we do. This is what Christians do. This is a key ingredient of following Christ. It's serving and loving and giving the way Jesus did. What is God calling you to give? How is God calling you to give? Who is God calling you to serve? How is God calling you to serve? This is a key ingredient. When God is at work among people, following the way of Jesus, service and generosity. And this leads us to our last one. You made it all the way to ingredient number seven. The recipe is almost complete. Okay, I'm done. Multiplication is the last ingredient. It says at the very end of this, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Look at what happens here. The Lord added to their number daily. It multiplies. Something happens when we live out this recipe for new life in Christ by the grace of God. We will see other people's lives change just like ours. If all of these other ingredients are at play in your life and we're living them out together, multiplication happens. Jesus is going to show up in your life. People will notice, opportunities will come, and you'll find people drawn to Jesus through you, through your small group, through your church, through your fellowship. They see the life of God that is at play and they say, what's going on there? How can I become a part of that? And God will draw you to other people and he'll be speaking to you as you're living a life of prayer and you're in his word. He's going to be like, hey, go talk to that person. Go build that relationship. Invite them to get coffee. Listen to their story. offer to pray for them. You will find in all sorts of ways it's going to multiply, because this new life is not just meant to be held onto for ourselves, right? We know that, right? It's meant to multiply. And if we're living this out, it's going to multiply. Who added to their number? The Lord did. So we might bring the ingredients, we might plant the seeds, but the pressure's off because God's the one that brings the life. All you have to do is follow through and be faithful with these ingredients and live out with Jesus. But he's the one that brings the new life. You just have to show up and be faithful with those opportunities. Multiplication will happen. Have you ever had a great meal and somebody asked you, well, I got to get the recipe of that. Can you share the recipe? Can you give me the recipe? I gotta have that. You know what I'm talking about? It should be that way with our life with God. At some point, people look at us and they're like, what's the recipe? What's going on in your life? Tell me about what's going on for you. What's different? I got to get the recipe of that. I got to know how to live like that. Show me the way, right? This is how it should be working. May we live such lives of faith that people would ask us, you know, what's the recipe? Connection Church, what is it about you? What's your ingredients? And we get to say, let me tell you about my Jesus. That song, I'm not going to sing it because I don't really know it that well. Devin did a much better job. But that song we just sang, let me tell you about my Jesus. Here's how it works, okay? So let's put a stop here to this journey. We're going to continue with the process next week. There's a lot more to cover. But I just want to end this with a little reflection, because there's so many different situations in this room, so many different stories. We are all at different places in our journey with God, different seasons. But this applies to you in a particular way, that God is wanting to usher you forward into the way of Jesus. And I just want to give you a little bit of room to think about that. What is the current recipe? Like, what are the ingredients of your life right now? What kind of results is that leading to you based on the ingredients that you have in your life? When's the last time you checked the box to be like, what am I putting into this thing, you know? Can we be really honest for a second, just brutally honest? Because without truth, we're not going to be free. We just got to say the truth. This is the honest truth. For many Christians, we can go on for long stretches of time living quietly miserable lives because we're just not following the recipe. We're not following the ingredients that God gave us. And we're just kind of like coasting along, trying to do our own thing, like, okay, here we go. We're neglecting the recipe God gave us for this new life. But he has set the table. It's right there. The feast is right there. The best ingredients, the best stuff. But we're trying to settle with other things, and we're wondering why our bellies are empty. He's given us a whole new way of life to live. It's there to receive, to walk into. But if we're going to use all sorts of, we're going to try to make our own recipe, do our own thing, make our own ingredients, or whatever seems best, neglect his ingredients, we're not going to experience the fullness and the abundance of life that he has for us. This is not about trying harder. This is not about taking an already overloaded life and trying to do one more thing. This is not about self-help. None of that is the gospel. This is about receiving the new life Jesus offers us and responding to it by saying, Lord, I want to follow your way. I can't do it, but you can do it through me. Your grace is enough. Take this thing I got going on, take this plate I got now, and Lord, make it yours. Make it according to your way, by your grace. I want to leave you with just a couple questions to reflect on. As we get ready to go into our last song of worship here, I just want to give you a couple questions. And you may want to take screenshots of this or write this down and pray into this throughout your week. I don't know how God's meeting you or speaking to you today, but it's going to be different for each one of us, but it's important. Look at that list one more time that Acts chapter 2 gives us, the 7 ingredients for life in Christ. Take a look at that. God's word, fellowship, worship and communion, prayer, spirit-filled ministry, you know, letting God use you and work through you, service and generosity, and multiplication. Those are some of the core ingredients, life with Jesus. And now ask yourself these three questions. I'm going to give you three questions to go with today. Let the Lord lead you. Let the Lord search your heart and speak to you right where you are and whatever he's doing right now. First, do my current ingredients lead to a life that looks more like Jesus or something else? What are the ingredients? And next, getting more specific, what ingredients in my life do I need to strengthen and increase? It's like some of that's there, but it does. It needs a little more salt just to get it just right. I need more of this. What ingredients do I need to add? I'm missing this ingredient completely. I forgot the eggs. I don't know. that you don't have, you're realizing, wow, I've totally neglected this. I think I need to add this in. And finally, what ingredients do I need to remove? I've been letting that in there for a while, and it's ruining the recipe. It's ruining my life. I need to get this out. I need to remove that. Last thing, in light of all this, how can I begin to pray right now for God to grow and transform my life in light of his recipe, in light of his ingredients? Because it's one thing to realize God shows you, wow, this is something you need to do differently, and let me show you. But it's another thing to know, how do I do that? How do I live differently, Lord? Start with prayer. When you have no other way, when you're not sure what to do, you just know something's got to change, Lord. Start with prayer. Like, Lord, I struggle to read the Bible. I just have trouble. I just, it's hard for me to do. I don't get it. So I'm going to pray, Lord, would you increase my desire for your word? Just start there. Lord, increase my desire. Lord, I struggle to pray. I just don't have the time. I get distracted all the time. I know that my life would be better, and you've made me for a life of prayer, but I'm having trouble. Lord, would you increase my desire to pray? I'm holding on too tightly to all my stuff, and I'm always anxious about it. Lord, I struggle to give and to serve. Lord, would you increase my desire for that and just help me with that? So pray in such a way that he would lead you into that life that he has for you, the way of Jesus. We're going to take a moment as praise team comes forward and just pray into these questions for a little bit. Just take a moment to be still. Let God speak into your life. And we'll finish it out in worship. Let's pray together. Lord God, your way is the best way. Jesus, you even said you are the way, the truth, and the life. We try to go all sorts of ways. We've all had a story. We've all have a testimony of how you found us on a crooked way, somewhere way out there, far away from where you are. And you met us, you pursued us, and you led us into a whole new way of life. Your way, the best way. It's not always easy, but it's good. God, I pray that you would be speaking into each person's life here. You know what they need. You know where they're at. Maybe they're just taking their very first step of faith this morning, or somebody online. They're not even sure yet if they've begun, but they feel you drawing them and ushering them in to begin this new life with Jesus. Lord, help them today. Speak to them today. Maybe other people have been walking this out for years and years and years, and like the meal has just gotten stale. And we need you to refresh us and give us a fresh vision for how to get the right ingredients and how to do life with Jesus and just grow with you like never before as your disciples, Lord. You know, God, we just give you our hearts. We give you our lives. We pray that you would speak into them and design them just the way you want. Just the way you want. Thank you for giving us the best of meals, the best ingredients to enjoy. These aren't chores. These aren't burdens. These aren't tasks. This is a feast we get to enjoy because of your grace. You're worthy of it all, God. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you for listening to the message from Connection Community Church. For more information and to find out more about our ministries, you can visit us on our website at justshowup.church. You can also call our church offices at 302-378-7692. Thanks again for listening. Connection Community Church, connecting people with Jesus and the new life he offers.